Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Delighted to be in the studio. Quite frankly, it's a minor miracle. I started a blood transfusion this morning at 8 a.m. and finished at 4:30. 4:30, the last drop of blood from the transfusion went into my body, and then it was a rush to the studio. I did a little Facebook Live, letting everybody know that I would be live in studio today and reminding them that the number to call to get your answers, your questions answered on the broadcast today, 888-ASK-HANK. That's numerically 888-275-4265. I didn't want to miss today, because today is June 1st. It is the first day of a brand new month. But as many of you who have followed the Bible Answer Man broadcast for any period of time would know, this is what I've always called the make it or break it month. This is the month in which we end our fiscal year. Obviously not our calendar year, but our fiscal year. And so we're asking people to be extraordinarily sensitive to the need to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth, not only through your prayers, as important as that is, but through your finances as well. I often say the gospel's free, someone has to put in the plumbing. So we're asking God's people who love this broadcast to stand with us prayerfully and financially, to give generously. We have some great offers, but this isn't about give to get. This is give to equip. We want to equip God's people, but we also want to equip you. So give in a generous fashion. I'm going to talk about some of the resources in just a moment. I got so many papers in front of me, I don't know where to start. We've got so much good news going on. But let me start by quoting the ever-quotable Rod Dreher. I've become a great fan of his. Reading his book, The Benedict Option, it's one of the most talked about books in the Christian world today. He is a brilliant writer, happens to be Orthodox, but very ecumenical. When you read this book, he is quoting Southern Baptists. He is quoting Catholic scholars. He is quoting scholars from all stripes, pastors, teachers. He has a way of bringing it together in a way that is extraordinary. The Benedict Option, everybody needs to read this book. It's a strategy for Christians living in a post-Christian nation. Let me give you just one quote from this book that struck me. Rod says, "The light of Christianity is flickering. It's flickering out all over the West. There are people alive today who may live to see the effective death of Christianity within our civilization. By God's mercy, the faith may continue to flourish in the global South and China. But barring a dramatic reversal of current trends, it will all but disappear entirely from Europe and North America. This may not be the end of the world, but it is the end of a world, and only the willfully blind would deny it. For a long time, we have downplayed or ignored the signs. Now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready." Now, please understand, in no way am I accepting this portrayal of the future as an inescapable given. I flatly reject that fatalistic notion of a future that awaits us regardless of what we do. On the other hand, I am chilled to the bone with notions of what could await us if we do nothing. And there again is why I'm asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. And then there's the book Onward. This is a book written by Russell Moore. And it is, if I can find the quote here, yes, I got it. There's a quote from Russell Moore's book I want to share with you as well. The subtitle, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. Russell Moore is a Southern Baptist and, again, just a brilliant writer. I read these two books and I said, these two books need to be in the arsenal of every single Christian. If you want to be on the cutting edge of what's going on in the culture and the church today, you got to read these books. So we put together a package. I don't know where it is. Oh, yes, here it is. I'm a little discombobulated running into the studio rather late, but here it is. For your gift of $100 or more, receive both resources. I tell you, this is not only going to help the ministry greatly, and you know some of you will want to give more, but it is going to equip you. These are books you simply cannot be without in the present moment, in a post-truth culture. But let me read a quote from Russell Moore, which I think gives you a sense of where he's coming from. I've actually used this quote before, but I think it bears repeating. When I first read it, I was so excited about it, I wanted to share it with my audience. I'm going to do it again. Russell says, the body of Christ is wide and broad and deep, and each tradition brings with it some aspects that bless the others and the wider world, even when we disagree with much else. And then says Russell Moore, I am not a Roman Catholic, but I wouldn't want for a moment to be without Augustine's City of God, or the apologetics of Thomas Aquinas, or G.K. Chesterton. I'm not Eastern Orthodox, but my life every day is shaped by the Nicene Creed, by the teachings of Athanasius and Irenaeus. I'm not Anglican, but I would be impoverished without the Book of Common Prayer and, of course, the teachings of C.S. Lewis. I'm not a Lutheran or a Presbyterian, but Martin Luther and John Calvin speak to all of us, not just to those who agree with them right down to the details. The Pentecostals are teaching all of us at the moment about serving the poor, about holding to a supernatural religion, about being a truly global church, and the list goes on and on. I think about my friends in the recovery. This is a move that started in China that I'm intimately acquainted with. And I would say without the recovery, which we once thought was a very cultic movement, it was a movement that we completely misunderstood. In fact, in the early 70s, we were a fountainhead of misinformation on this group. And it was embarrassing to a lot of people in the recovery in the West, but in the East, it had horrible results, people imprisoned and killed. And I remember when I sent a team of researchers out to China, one of my good friends, Gretchen Passantino, was one of them. She was responsible, along with Elliot Miller, for most of the research, the primary research. Why? Because they were the fountainhead of misinformation to begin with in the early 70s. And they had the intellectual and spiritual courage to say with the rest of us that we were wrong. We were wrong about this group. And it was actually this group that started me down the road of theosis, understanding what union with God in a biblical sense really meant, what it meant to be a partaker of the divine nature. So this group is just another example of a group that is impacting the lives of millions of people. You go to China and you find out that most Christians in China, or at least a huge number of Christians in China, and there may be over 100 million Christians in China, they draw their spiritual roots back to Watchman Nee, who died in a communist prison camp in 1972, and to his progeny, Witness Lee. We're talking about millions and millions of Christians. And in those Christians, I saw life and light. Some of these Christians did not have access to the same resources I had access to for the last 30 years. But I saw in them life. And I still remember how I pondered this, flying back from China one day, thinking, I know a lot because I've learned over a long period of time. My well is deep. But I just saw life. And it took me down a path of not only wanting to know, but to know. Meaning, not only wanting to know intellectually, but to experience Christ. As someone has well said, it would be a horrendous mistake to mistake the cradle for its occupant. The occupant is Christ, and we are called to intimacy with Christ. And quite frankly, had it not been for that journey starting back then, and that journey started August 4, 2003, if it had not been for that, I don't know how I would be enduring what I'm going through right now physically. And one of my colleagues said, I can't believe you're back in the saddle after a whole day of a blood transfusion. I said, yeah, I can't believe it either. He says, oh, well, actually, I know. You are operating on uncreated energy. And truly I am. And that's what Paul is talking about in Colossians 1, 28 and 29. He says, when he said, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. So anyway, a little bit of a tangent, but the point of Russell Moore in this book should not be missed. We have a rich tradition, and God has his people in so many different places. And there's no one that knows that better than I do, because I have been in churches from all kinds of perspectives that hold to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. And Russell Moore does a great job in this book of again, telling it like it is and doing it with gentleness and with respect. Two fantastic books. You just can't miss out on them. Look, if you don't have $100 to give to the ministry, you know, just order one for your gift, but get one of the two. I actually personally cannot choose between the two of them. They're that good. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or you can talk to one of our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. I got that out okay. Couple of quick things. We're going to go to break, then we'll start taking your calls live. 888-ASK-HANK. I'm excited to announce that episode zero, it's a teaser of sorts, of the new podcast brought to you by the Christian Research Institute called Hank Unplugged. And I'm really going to be unplugged. It's now available for download on iTunes as of today. I don't want to give too much away here, but I have a feeling this podcast is a format that you're all going to enjoy. So head to iTunes to subscribe to Hank Unplugged podcast and listen to episode zero. And stay tuned for the very first episode. That'll be episode one. Zero is the teaser of Hank Unplugged coming up very, very soon. Also, In the last few seconds before we go to break, I want to mention a brand new issue of the Christian Research Journal. I did the cover story, first time in a long time. I talk about the split between the two major branches of Islam, Sunni and Shia, which of course had its genesis in the homicide of Muhammad. The Sunni believe Muhammad was poisoned by the Jewish Zainab, while Shias are convinced he was poisoned by two of his wives. I don't want to give any more of the story away. It's an intriguing story. I mean, it is high intrigue. Christian Research Journal, equipping you in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Our award-winning magazine. Subscribe at equip.org. Or again, you can talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. In just a few moments, we'll be back with answers to your questions, 888-ASK-HANK.
Moralistic therapeutic deism is colonizing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within. Yet Rod Dreher believes that by rediscovering the past, recovering liturgical worship and asceticism, centering our lives on the church community, and tightening church discipline, we will, by God's grace, again become the peculiar people we should have always been. To equip you in addressing the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort, read Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. To receive your copy of The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Ostenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, ostenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Ostenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today.
Again, that's equip.org/app.
It's only by the grace of God and the partnership of friends like you that enable the Christian Research Institute to combat the assaults on truth and Christian values that followers of Christ experience daily through a growing deluge of media channels. Stand with CRI during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, please give generously this month for those who join CRI's monthly support team. Be pleased to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated to you, a family member or a friend. But do remember what I said at the beginning of the broadcast, two absolute must-reads, Onward by Russell Moore, a great Southern Baptist, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians Living in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. You just can't miss either one of them. And they are available for your support, and they will equip and encourage you greatly. Let's go to the phone lines. First up in this segment, Mark in Princeton, Iowa, listening on KCIS. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Hank. Listen, we've been praying for you and been listening to you for over 20 years, I think. So what a great opening you had there. I'd read a book on the Chinese martyrs, and I know how you feel about that whole situation overseas there.
Yes.
But what I was calling about, Hank, is I am a Roman Catholic. I was baptized as a baby 10 weeks. I still remember the priest baptizing me. And your comments last week on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, it was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful what you had to say. I don't think anyone could have answered it any better. And I just wondered, well, how would you differ from the Roman Catholic faith, if at all? I just wanted to ask you that.
Well, you know, there are differences vis-a-vis Roman Catholicism and the Orthodox Church with respect to many, many things. But when you talk about the Eucharist, there is no difference when we talk about the real presence of Christ, because both Roman Catholics and Orthodox, as well as Lutherans that follow Luther as he taught the Eucharist, believed in the real presence of Christ. So for 1,000 years of church history, when the body of Christ was as yet undivided, believers humbly took the Lord at his word. What did the Lord say? This is my body. This is my blood. How this was so, no one could tell. The church was simply confessing the real presence of Jesus Christ to be a great and grand and glorious mystery. And even after the great schism that we all know as 1054, when the Eastern and the Western churches were divided at the table, the Eucharist was unanimously believed to be the real presence of Christ. And that was, as I just alluded to earlier, that was also the conviction of Martin Luther. He was at the center of a great schism as well. We could call it a second great schism, one that fissured the Western half of the church, but he nonetheless remained unified with the ancient church respecting the matter of the real presence of Jesus Christ. And for Luther, as for the early church fathers, the explanation was far less significant than the experience, because experiencing the real presence of Christ was like becoming one with Christ, and oneness with Christ was tantamount to oneness with the Father and the Spirit. I mean, that's the whole goal, isn't it? We're called to be brought into the fellowship of the Trinity. So, well, are there differences between Roman Catholics and the Eastern Church? Yes, of course. If there were not, there wouldn't have been the Great Schism. But on this point, the differences are, in my view, somewhat like the difference between the Western side of the church and the Eastern side of the church. The Western side of the church has tried to explain things that the Eastern church has tried to remain in mystery. What I mean by that is the Western church has attempted to explain the Eucharist or the Mass by saying transubstantiation. There's a transubstantiation of the elements. There's a change over in substance, as it were. The Lutherans, part of the Western Church as well, said Christ is in, with, and under. The Eastern Church never tried to do that. To them, it was just the mysterium tremendum et fascinans, the mystery that causes us to tremble and yet attracts us. So they left this in mystery. They said, if you leave the Trinity in mystery, and you leave the Incarnation as a great mystery, why not leave the Eucharist as a great mystery as well? So that's one of the differences. Of course, the other difference that split the church was the Pope being able to speak ex cathedra and affect new dogma, dogma that was different than what had been hashed out in the seven great ecumenical councils.
Okay. So do you think the Roman Catholic Church is the true church and that just everybody will someday all be together or what on that then?
Well, I can't say what will be, but I can say what the Lord's high priestly prayer was. It was that we all will be as one, just as I and the Father are one. So the fissuring of the church is not a happy occurrence in church history. And to have unanimity around the essentials, which can never be compromised, would be a great thing. I would very much love to see people recognize, particularly within Protestant circles, that the Roman Catholic Church is a true church. I think it is a true church with significant error, but in saying that, I'm not being pejorative. There are many fantastic Protestant churches that I think are true churches with significant error. The Orthodox Church has its own issues. So I would never say, as some have said, the inverse, that the Roman Catholic Church is a false church with some truth, but I say it's a true church with what I consider a significant error. That's why I'm not Roman Catholic. But look, some of the greatest apologists, Christian apologists alive today, are Roman Catholics. Some of the greatest defenders of the faith. Some of the greatest authors are Roman Catholic. Some of the greatest charity works that are going on around the world come out of Roman Catholicism. And I think we fail to underscore that to our own demise and to further disunity.
Well, you did a fine job on that. I really appreciate that. The gospel and the Eucharist go hand in hand, don't they?
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, when you think about this, it's a seamless garment. When we talk about the liturgy, the liturgy and the Eucharist, or the liturgy and the Mass, are not separate. They're a seamless garment. And so it's not as though you're doing two different things. The two are one and the same.
Well, very good. I thank you for taking my call. And if you ever get a chance on that book on the Chinese martyrs, I know you'll really be moved by it. There's a little girl in there. She's 4 years old, and she would take communion to the prisoners.
Hmm.
And it was just I can't explain how much faith that little child had, and what the people suffered through. But you're aware of some of this. But I don't know the author right now. But it's a compilation of a lot of the people that survived that, and they wrote down their stories is what they did.
Great. Hey, thanks so much for your call. Good talking to you. Got to move on or a lot of people will be unhappy. Let's talk to Sharon next in Greenville, South Carolina. Hi, Sharon.
Yeah, hi, Harry.
Oh, hi.
I wanted to ask you, my daughter has started going to what I call a user-friendly church with the tattoos and the different color hairs and the holes in the jeans and the lights blinking and the guitar screeching. And the youth director came in the other day with beer in his hand and told him there was nothing wrong with drinking as long as you didn't overdo it. Do you think the Bible really does come into saying that alcohol is a sin?
You know, I think we have to start with something that's far more foundational here. I think as Christians, we are called to be cultural initiators, not cultural imitators. And I think what we're trying to do today is with the skinny jeans and all the things that you have just mentioned, and I wear skinny jeans too from time to time, and for Pete's sake, I'm 66, but it's all a matter of propriety. I think to emulate the culture is really the wrong way to go. What people are truly looking for today, they're looking for authentic. And millennials in particular, they're looking for the real deal. And this is why you have seen so many people going into churches like the Orthodox Church, because they're searching for something above and beyond themselves. I mean, if you've been in the world long enough, you recognize, well, the world has its good points. But after all, who wants to emulate the world? We are citizens of the kingdom of God. What Augustine called the city of God. And we don't want to emulate the city of man. Now, as far as drinking in general is concerned, the truth of the matter is we are not to be wine bibbers, we're not to be drunkards, and we're not to be gluttons. What does that mean? Too much wine, bad. But the Bible never tells us we can't have any wine. Too much food, bad. But the Bible never tells us that we can't have any food. You can fast for a while, but if you fast too long, the heart grows weary. So a little wine is good for your stomach, as Paul told Timothy. It's even medicinal in some sense. But don't ever overdo it, because we should never be in an altered state of consciousness. When you're in an altered state of consciousness, you do and say things you wouldn't normally do. So here you go to a church with a beer in your hand and you don't have a filter. That's a prescription for disaster. So all of this stuff trying to emulate being hip. Look, if people want to go to a real party, church probably not the place to go to. You want to have a real experience, fellowship in the Trinity, I mean, find a healthy, well-balanced church. Coming up to station break, Christian Research Journal again, brand new issue. You got to subscribe this month. If you've never subscribed, subscribe to this issue. You will be wowed. You can see the cover on the web, equip.org. We're going to be back with the quote of the day. Something sent to me from a Calvary Chapel pastor's wife, who I've followed and loved for a long time. Stay tuned for that.
In case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us. And we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option, and surrender is out of the question. That's why, as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties. please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you the Benedict Option. Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a few moments. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity, and it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Life and truth are under assault in America in ways that would have been impossible to imagine, even a few decades ago. Yet Hank Hanegraaff observes the fundamental problem is not pagans doing what comes naturally to a fallen human nature, but Christians failing to do what comes supernaturally to those with redeemed minds and sanctified wills. Our culture is in freefall because Christians have failed to think and to live Christianly. Make a difference and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And the quote of the day sent to me by Kathy Taylor. As I was saying at the end of the last segment, a woman that I deeply love and appreciate, her husband, Wayne Taylor, and Kathy together have had a tremendous ministry up in the great state of Washington. She sent me a devotional that was really helpful to me as I was going through the blood transfusion today. And she herself has battled cancer, and she's a cancer survivor. and has been very, very helpful, encouraging with her words. But anyway, she sent me this poem by William Cowper. He, I guess you could call him the foremost poet of his generation in the 18th century. He lived in England. And I'll just give you three stanzas as the quote of the day. Focus on the words, they're beautiful. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. He, fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. In the devotional Kathy sent me, she talked about, well, what reminded me of a great big oak tree, and the story was about how the oak tree left in the forest never really grows, but if you put it out on the plain where the winds can beat upon it and bend it, then it starts developing deep roots, and it starts to become an example of strength that comes not from within, but from without. It was a beautiful allegory. And again, I thought about the oak tree. We have one, and you know, it takes about 100 years to grow an oak tree, another 100 years for it to mature, and then another 100 years for it to die. And you know, we go through these phases of life as well. And what we want to do is take the maturity, the winds and the waves that have beat upon our house, and yet we haven't broken because our foundation is on the rock, Jesus Christ. So again, thank you, Kathy Taylor. You blessed my life today. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Abraham, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, CJCA. Hi, Abraham.
Hey, Hank. Hey.
Good to talk to you. I love your name.
My question is, does the Bible predict economic failure? And is there going to be like times of turmoil?
Well, the Bible doesn't predict anything about what's going to happen in the 21st century. I mean, that's a big misnomer. People think that you can find America in biblical prophecy. It's simply untrue. The reality is this, that Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I've overcome the world. And in the book of Revelation, we have a great, great example of seven churches in the province of Asia. They're being exhorted, encouraged, equipped to be faithful. They are going to suffer for a short time. Their vindication is going to be an eternal vindication. And that message is a message for us today. Yes, we are in the midst of great turmoil. Yes, we have an unsustainable debt. You think of what Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. There comes a time when those that you are indebted to now have control over your properties. So we are in a tremendous time of upheaval and turmoil. And no one did a better job of writing about that and elucidating that than Rod Dreher in the Benedict Option, one of the two books we have available for those who support the ministry all this month. Again, you get that book, and you need to read the book, equip.org, as well as Onward by Russell Moore. So yeah, there are times of turmoil, there are times of tribulation, and all of that is a reality, but I don't think we do justice to the Bible to say that the Bible's talking about what's happening in the 21st century. It simply is not. The book of Revelation was written to churches in a first century epic of a Caesar cult, Romans was written to Romans, Corinthians to Corinthians, and so forth. But the application is for us today. So when Jesus says, in this world you have trouble, take heart, I've overcome the world. In every epoch of time, there has been trouble. Think about living during the Black Death. Think about the mass genocide that took place with the Armenians. Think about World War II. Think about what's happening to the Syrians, particularly to Christians in the Middle East, who are being wiped out, all of that squarely in the blind spot of the West. So are there problems in this world? Wow. There are huge problems in this world, but we have a great Christ. And in the end, we are not called to even win. We are called to be faithful, to be found. You look, some of you ought to read Hebrews chapter 11 again. There you see the great faith hall of fame. We think about these people as dead people. I heard someone today say, you know, so-and-so, these groups, they pray to dead people. There are no dead people. You're either alive in the presence of God, being comforted, or you are in torment. But people are struggling, and this struggle is a continuous struggle. But we are laying up treasures for ourselves, not on earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break in and steal, but treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Let me take quickly a Facebook question, or I'm really going to be in trouble here. Elvira, she writes, the Bible speaks of three heavens. There's a third heaven where we're going in the resurrection. I mean, it's kind of interesting if you look at this from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. He's got an incredible story that he tells where he says, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body. I don't know. God knows. And I know this man. Wonder who he's talking about. Whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows. So he was caught up to paradise, and he heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. You'll find this story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So what's going on? He has this experience that is being caught up to the third heaven. What is the third heaven? Well, to contextualize it, we think of the first heaven as the atmosphere in which we live. You see the birds fly through that atmosphere. You think about the second heaven as the realm of the sun, the moon, and the stars. But the third heaven, that is the place that our hearts yearn for, because that is the dwelling place of God. So in the present, we experience eternal life as though, well, we're looking a bit through a veil. In the life afterlife, that veil is going to be removed, and eternal life will continue in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in the life afterlife, we will experience eternal life as the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And on that day, the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's not a old covenant prayer. Should be praying it every day. On that day, that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, we'll find final resurrection glory as a resolution, as a reality, the reality we all long for. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dwayne. He's listening in Newport News, Virginia, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Hank. Good to hear your voice today. I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
I have a question. I wanted to know the dangers of the new grace theology, and because the Bible talks about grace and truth, and it seems like it's a hyper-grace or a progressively hyper-grace-grace message without the truth to back it up. And I'm wondering what the dangers are of that. I'm looking for your perspective, if possible.
Well, you know, that's a big subject, and maybe I'll have to reserve my answer to a future broadcast, because I think grace is one of the most misunderstood terms in the Christian church today. I think you're right to say that there's a hyper-grace movement, but at the end of the day, we have to define our terms very, very well when we talk about grace. And I think the best I can do in the minute or so that I have left in this broadcast is to say that grace is something that is transformational in our life, not as something we received once, but something that we experience daily, which is to say that we live ultimately by the graces of God that are preserved for us within the context of the healthy, well-balanced church, by which we are nourished by word and sacrament. It is the grace we receive by living the disciplines of the Christian life. Ultimately, we can go back to grace foundationally and talk about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and say, for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we must never make the error of seeing grace as transactional. We must see grace in a far broader sense as grace being transformational. And that does not happen in a vacuum. It always happens within the community of faith. Much more could be said, a great subject. I'll unpack that further in days to come. Appreciate all of those that stand shoulder to shoulder with this one-of-a-kind ministry and the battle for life and truth. We need you. Please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Give generously, equip.org, in a safe, secure fashion. What you do really makes a difference.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support to make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day,
or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.